राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी,
जय 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 गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीर वनचारी, यमुना तीर वनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद, श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे, जय राधा गोकुल नंद राधा गोकुल नंद राधे, जय जय प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद, जय जय प्रभुपाद नितय गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल, नितय गौर हरि बोल, प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतहिस्त डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नृताय गौर प्रेमानंदे। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. ओम ज्ञान तिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकय चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं। वंदेहं श्री गुरु श्रीयुत पदकमलं श्री गुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्री रूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च। नमो ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण। आई एम वेरी हैप्पी टू बी विथ all the devotees of the ISKCON Youth Forum in Kanpur. All of you are from various educational institutions, and perhaps some of you have passed out and have just begun to work somewhere. So I'm very happy to be with all of you. I think this is probably the first time I'm getting the opportunity to be with all of you. And I'm very, very pleased to see so many of you gathered here. And I can therefore understand that the activities of the ISKCON Youth Forum in Kanpur are going on with great enthusiasm and zeal. Phalena parichiyate, by results one can understand something. So, congratulations to all of you, not only the devotees who are involved in propagating Krishna consciousness to the youth of Kanpur and nearby areas, but also to those of you in the ISKCON Youth Forum who have taken to Krishna consciousness seriously and are practicing with enthusiasm. The topic I was asked to speak on today is complacency and procrastination in the path of bhakti. Now these are both big words, complacency and procrastination. Of course, I'm sure you know the meanings of both these words, but nevertheless, let me just very briefly mention what they mean. The word complacency implies some kind of a self-satisfaction, some kind of contentment with oneself or with one's achievements. And it typically indicates a state of mind wherein this sort of self-satisfaction does not have any critical analysis. one does not introspect sincerely. One does not try to see one's own mistakes or faults or shortcomings. One does not try to see so much where one can improve and where one can progress in bhakti in a better way. So, in complacency there comes a loss of drive, a loss of that fire of enthusiasm, and the loss of initiative, the loss of not wanting to do anything beyond the bare minimum or beyond our comfort zone. We're just happy to be doing things we are comfortable with doing, and we don't want to step in the region beyond that. And we tend to think, well, what I've done so far is enough, or what I'm doing is enough, and already so much has been done, so what is the need for doing anything more? There is also that feeling of self-congratulation that I have done already so much, it's something great that I have done. And therefore this breeds a sense of lethargy, almost a sense of laziness. And we can see that operating in bhakti very clearly. So what is procrastination? Procrastination means that we try to delay things. When something has to be done now, we delay it for a little later. And when that time comes, then we further delay it to some other time in the future. So therefore, we tend to again become complacent. Not only complacent, but we go one step further, we become negligent, neglectful. And procrastination could be understood as a deeper sense of complacency going into neglect, going into carelessness. Of course, procrastination, as per the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, is a symptom of the mode of ignorance. So because of complacency and procrastination, what happens? It has an effect on our own devotional enthusiasm. It diminishes our urge to make continued progress in our bhakti. It inhibits our drive to reach out to others and spread Krishna consciousness everywhere. So there is a danger to the growth of one's own devotional kripa, because when one becomes complacent, one also becomes a little negligent, one tends to postpone, one tends to take things lightly, one doesn't tend to realize the seriousness and gravity of the challenges that one is confronted with, one takes things lightly. So therefore there is risk to one's own life, devotional life. And in procrastination, we just tend to keep on pushing ahead, things that we really need to be doing now. And therefore both these things together not only affect one's individual growth in bhakti, but also we cannot now reach out to so many other devotees or people and do our various services. The movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and especially as seen in the way that Srila Prabhupada preached and practiced Krishna consciousness everywhere in the world, is that there was always that relentless fire to do more and continue on in the path of devotional service without any obstacles, without any loss of enthusiasm. So when we are complacent and procrastinate, and we procrastinate everything, then this zeal of Krishna conscious enthusiasm will be diminished. It is like dousing the fire of Krishna consciousness within us. So this movement cannot grow. this movement cannot sustain. This movement will lose its dynamism, it will lose its vitality and energy. So complacency and procrastination will simply sap this movement of its vitality, the energy, the vigor, and the hope for the future. Everything begins to stagnate. New blood does not come in. And there is no longer any energy left. So therefore we must very much guard against both complacency and also procrastination. It just reminds me of a little story. One time, somebody approached Maharaj Yudhishthir for some charity. And he was busy with something, and he asked him to come the next day so that he could finish what he wanted to do. As you know, charity is a very important part of Vedic culture. And especially if one is a king, then one is expected to fulfill the needs of all those who come asking for charity. So when Yudhishthir Maharaj spoke like that, then Bhima, his younger brother, went out into the street and said, "Here one, here all, here everybody who is here, please come. I want to declare to you that the king Yudhishthir Maharaj believes very firmly, he is confident, he is completely sure that he will live till tomorrow." So, when Yudhishthir Maharaj heard this, he immediately stopped all his other work and then gave in charity to that person who had come and went on with his other work. So, of course, we know that anything can happen any time in this material world. So when something has to happen, when something needs to be done now, we should do it now. You have heard the Hindi saying, "Kal kare so aaj kare to ab." Yes? So what you want to do tomorrow, do it today. What you want to do today, do it now. Don't keep on postponing things. Because we hear from the Srimad Bhagavatam that death can come at any time. Most of the people who have died in accidents or in some sort of tragedy or even some heart attack or something like that, none of them expected to die at the time that they did. They all thought that life would go on forever. Since we mention an example of Yudhishthir Maharaj and Bhima, why not quote a verse spoken personally by Yudhishthir Maharaj during the episode of the Yaksha Prashna, in which when Yudhishthir Maharaj is asked about what the most amazing thing in the world is, he said, "Ahanya ahani bhutani gacchanti hayamalayam sheshah sthavaram icchanti kim aashyaryamatah param." He said, every day we see, ahanya ahani, with every passing day, we see that living entities, bhutani, are going, gacchanti, they are going to yamalayam, to the abode of Yamaraj, the lord of death, which means that they are dying. So every day we see that people are dying, but sheshaha, those who are remaining behind, those who are still alive, sthavaram icchanti, they desire to continue to live and think that they will live forever, not realizing that they are also going to die one day. So kim aascharyamatah param, what can be more surprising or amazing than this? So death is coming for everybody. Pramatta nidhanam pashyannapina pashyati. So when one is intoxicated by the opulence and the phenomena and experiences of the world, then one does not see the reality of what is going to happen. Death will come any time. So we are seeing, but we are still not seeing. Pashyannapi na pashyati. We see, but we don't see. So that brings a sense of complacency also. Okay, I'm going to live forever. And I'm going to live for a long time. An accident will not come tomorrow. Accidents happen to other people, not to me. So therefore, complacency is and procrastination are based on many factors. So let me try to mention some of the factors that lead to us becoming complacent and to procrastinate. First and foremost, complacency comes from not realizing the nature of this material world and the nature of how time flows in one direction and destroys everything in its wake. So complacency and procrastination comes because we do not realize the value of time, the significance of time, and how time acts upon all of us in this world. Time and tide wait for no man. There is a proverb. Mrityu sarva haras chaham. Krishna says that I come in the form of death. Kalo smi. So Krishna says, I am time. So he comes and destroys the whole world. Kshayakrit pravrittaha. I come and destroy everything. So time is Krishna's energy in this world that is meant to destroy everything eventually. So when we do not understand the nature and the workings of time, then we become complacent and we want to procrastinate. In that incident, Yudhishthira said, I'll do it tomorrow. But Bhima pointed out correctly, who knows whether tomorrow will come or not. So if something has to be done today, don't delay it. Don't think that, okay, everything will be all right, which is a sign of complacency. And then you delay it, which is a sign of procrastination. So do things promptly because time has value. When something is needed to be done at a particular time, it is fruitless or pointless if you do that thing at another time. For example, if somebody is very sick and needs medical attention now, so time is of the essence. So you have to call a doctor and bring medical facilities at that time. If you call the doctor at your leisure after a lot of time has elapsed, then by the time the patient may become very serious and beyond recovery. So the workings of time are very important for us to appreciate. Because time is money, time is value in every respect. Even materialistic people say time is money. For us, time is not just money, but it is far more important than money. So Chanakya Pandit has also said that every moment of human life is precious, that we cannot buy even a moment of our time once it has passed, even with crores and crores of rupees, millions of dollars. So therefore, what is gone is gone. So if we do not do something that is meant to be done at that time, it will be lost forever. That moment is gone. So we must appreciate what time is and what role it plays in our life and its importance, and what loss there will be if we do not utilize our time properly. So our shastras are full of explanations or teachings of how we should utilize our time. Kalam naye dakhila mithyupadesha saram, as Rupa Goswami has said in the Upadesha Amrita, that this is the way we should utilize all our time. How should we do that? Tannama rupa charitadi sukirtananu spratyo kramena rasana manasi niyojya. He says we should use our time all our time in hearing and chanting and remembering the Supreme Lord and in serving Him. So when we do not utilize that time like that, then that is a great loss. So complacency and procrastination can bring about a very big loss in our life. So in the scriptures, in the other scriptures also, it has been said, sahanistan mahachidram, you know, the hani or the kind of loss that will come about, vasudevam na chintayet, is very great. Yan muhurtam kshanam vapi vasudevam na chintayet. So even for one moment, not remembering the Supreme Lord is the greatest loss. So the one moment that is gone, is gone. So in this way, appreciating the significance of time is very important, and if we do not, then that leads to complacency and procrastination. Also, a second factor that leads to complacency and procrastination is an inadequate understanding and appreciation of what it takes to progress in bhakti. We actually get a little distracted by certain things that come about in our bhakti. And the unwanted things that reside in our heart are called anarthas. Anarthas means the unwanted things. Unwanted things will always create trouble. So when we accumulate these things in our heart, then they give us a false sense of accomplishment, of achievement. And we start thinking that, yes, I have achieved the goal of bhakti. There are different types of anarthas. One type, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his beautiful text Madhurya Kadambini, is called anarthas that arise from our sinful activities. Dushkritottha anarthas. Dushkriti means the sinful activities. So, sinful activities lead to misery, to distress. So they come in the form of distress and create so many problems for us, unwanted situations in our life. If we do not take these positively, if we tend to get overwhelmed by the distress that comes in our life, then we will develop a very defeatist and negative mindset. And then we will just out of exhaustion say, I cannot do this now anymore. I will not do this. So we must learn how to face the reversals and negativities that come in our life. Many of them may come because of sinful activities, though not all because of sinful activities. Some may come because of the aparadhas that we have done. That is called aparadottha anarthas. Those unwanted things that may come because the miseries that may come because of having offended the holy name, and particularly because of offending the devotees of the Lord. So therefore, if we do not develop a positive attitude towards the distresses that may come because of whatever we have done in the past, then we will develop this kind of a defeatist, complacent mentality that, okay, I should just, whatever I've done, I've done, it's okay, whatever I'm doing at the bare minimum level, I will just be there. So therefore, it is important for us to deal with our challenges in life with a very positive mindset, understanding that these are also opportunities for us to make progress in our life. If we're going to see them negatively and succumb to that, then we will not be able to have the mindset that is required to make progress in our bhakti. So to avoid complacency and procrastination in our devotional service, it is important to deal with the reversals and adversities in our life with a very positive mindset, with a very Krishna conscious mindset, and to understand that ultimately these are the mercy of Krishna coming in the form of various difficulties. And that Krishna is very kind, and that by such suffering we are actually becoming purified. And these are not actually adversities, but they are opportunities for us to make advancement in our spiritual life. So that is a very important thing. Also, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur speaks about sukritottha anarthas, those anarthas that arise out of our having performed pious activities in the past. Because of that, we get opportunities for enjoying this world. And then we become attached to the enjoyments of this world, and that also creates an obstacle for us. So Srila Prabhupada has said many times that the desires for sense enjoyment, they block or they diminish the enthusiasm for devotional service, which is a typical sign that complacency has set in. So if you are absorbed in trying to enjoy this world, it will definitely dampen our enthusiasm to serve Krishna. So actually all these anarthas in one form or another will create some kind of difficulties for us, challenges for us in our spiritual life. So we have to approach them in the right spirit. Another practical thing that may come is bhaktiyottha anarthas, those anarthas that may come out of bhakti. How is that possible? So let us say that by doing bhakti, we become a little famous. We start getting a little respect. Or let us say, because of that, people are appreciating us. Or maybe we have succeeded in our business because we started doing bhakti. Maybe we started getting some material facilities and comforts because of bhakti. We got a high position and some prestige because of bhakti. So what happens is that we start thinking that this is what bhakti is all about. And that if I have become famous, then actually this is bhakti. So we become attached to these byproducts, the side effects of bhakti, not the real purpose of bhakti. And then we get attached to these things like the comforts, the prestige, the name and fame and all of that. And we start doing things to fulfill those goals. Or perhaps we become complacent, thinking, okay, so now there is so much respect coming to me. I have some prestige and in the society of devotees and perhaps in the outside world. People are calling me Prabhuji. They are folding their hands in front of us and respecting us and welcoming us. So then we think, this is it. So now I can just go on like this. So in this way, complacency also sets in because of the fruits, the incidental byproducts of bhakti. And we tend to then lose the focus on the real goal of bhakti, bhakti yoga, which is develop your love for Lord Krishna, Krishna prem. Also, as we go along in the path of bhakti, we are meant to do some moderate amount of austerity. However, when we start getting some facilities, whether it is in our ashram or whether it is at any other place, we start becoming attached to that. And we start thinking of that as almost an indication of progress. Now I'm a new devotee, therefore I'm not getting much facility. But when I advance in my Krishna consciousness, then I should get more facility. I should get more comfort. I should get a car dedicated to me. I should get this kind of facility that is only for me. So not only does that lead to a sense of pride, but then we also get attached to these facilities and the expectation of such facilities, and we lose that spirit of enthusiasm to want to practice and spread Krishna consciousness. So we mustn't be too attached to comforts. We must not be expecting that as we continue in our progress that we are entitled to all these things because I have spent so many years in my bhakti and so on. And of course, in the midst of opulence, then it becomes more difficult. Most brahmacharis who have in their early years of Krishna consciousness lived in ashrams where there has been a lot of austerity, where there have hardly been any material facilities, remember those days with great relish. And when they compare those days with the current situation in which they may be in, where all sorts of facilities have been provided to them, comforts are there, etc., they realize that those who become brahmacharis and young in the modern days, when there are a lot of facilities, don't have that degree of fire that used to be there in the old days when there was austerity. In those days of simplicity, lack of facilities, etc., the enthusiasm of the devotees was sky high. And they were extremely happy even in those very, very limited facilities. There were no complaints, there were no regrets. But gradually as time goes by and the ashrams develop, the preaching develops, we get facilities, then we become attached to those facilities and we become complacent. So therefore we should see also that certain level of simplicity, austerity should always be maintained in our devotional life to guard against the sense of complacency and procrastination from entering into our consciousness. Also, another interesting factor that may lead to complacency and procrastination is success. Not just material success, but even spiritual success. When we have built a nice temple, or we have preached to many devotees, many people have become devotees as a result of our preaching, and so on, then we may think, okay, so I've done now quite a lot, now I can take it easy, now I can relax. So this also brings in a sense of complacency. So in as much as failure is a big challenge to deal with, success is also a challenge. So when we get complacent and we procrastinate because of failure and because of being overwhelmed by negativities, that is a kind of negative complacency. But there is also kind of complacency that comes when there are positive things that happen in our life, like the success of preaching and so on. So we must guard against complacency in such circumstances also. Another factor may be that we are simply exhausted because of some, you know, years and years of doing a certain thing, and we want to relax now and so on. So that typically comes with age. When one becomes older, then one is unable to physically do all the things that one was able to do when one was young. So that is understandable, but we must remember that even if one is not able to physically be enthusiastic, one must be enthusiastic in spirit and in one's activities. Naturally, one may not be able to do everything that a young person can do in old age, But that fire, that spirit must continue. Of course, all of you who are here in the ISKCON Youth Forum are all very young. You're most likely in your late teens or in your early 20s. So you have a long way to go before you enter into what can be called late middle age or old age. But you can prepare your mindset for that. And remember that the enthusiasm you have is carried forward even as you grow older and older in life. Even though your enthusiasm will have to be channeled in a different way, but that spirit of not getting complacent has to be maintained. And one final point that I want to make is, complacency and procrastination also comes when we seek peace. Everybody is so beaten down by the goings on in this world. That we want to seek some peace. And even otherwise, the general tendency for people who come to spiritual life is that they want peace. Many times, typically, when people come to the temples or to programs, then they say, oh, I felt so much peace. Yes? In one sense, that's good to start with, because at least that person has got some relief from the blazing fire of material existence outside. But as one progresses in devotional service, it is important to note that one should not be attached even to the so-called peace of this world. This world is not meant for peace. It is not a place where you can be peaceful for long, for more than a few moments. And furthermore, even in the path of devotional service, attachment to peace will lead to complacency and procrastination. So there has to be this sense of devotional restlessness. There has to be this sense of devotional dissatisfaction in the sense that one wants to do more now for Krishna. One wants to improve one's sadhana. One wants to ensure that so many things are done for the pleasure of Krishna. This willingness to take on a little bit of anxiety for Krishna's service. So if we are forever running away from transcendental anxiety in the service of Krishna, then slowly this complacency and procrastination will creep into our consciousness. We see that the Brajabasis during Krishna's time were always in transcendental anxiety, because there were asuras coming every now and then and they wanted to kill Krishna and the Brajabasis. Of course, these demons were always unsuccessful, and Krishna subdued them or killed them, and these became wonderful pastimes for meditation for the devotees. So we must not desire peace. Peace will come to the extent that it is there, it's fine. But bhakti gives transcendental joy, not just peace. Yes, and one last point. Fundamentally, if our sadhana is not strong, if our chanting is inattentive, if our hearing is not regular, if our studying is not going on, studying of Prabhupada's books, I mean, is not going on properly, if you're not in the proper mood of humble service with respect to the devotees and the mission of Prabhupada, the Mahaprabhu, then that will also lead to complacency. So attentive chanting, regular hearing will also ensure that we remain enlivened and positive at all times. Hare Krishna. So I think I will stop here and leave the floor open for questions. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for giving wonderful reasons like where we become complacent. But like sometimes like we have to give priority to the services which we do.
You have to give priority to what? You have to give priority to what?
To the service.
Service, okay.
Like even we have a lot of services, we have to give priority to the services. And like sometimes priority to sadhana over service.
Priority to sadhana over service. Okay, go on.
So, can you explain that, like taking to which item will lead to like what completion? Like, have you like, can you give some of the examples which you faced in your life, coming across these kind of situations?
I didn't follow the question. So, is your question that when we have so many services to do, then we are not able to focus on sadhana? So, how to maintain that balance? Is that it?
No, Maharaj. Sometimes we have. Sometimes we have like services, but
yes.
In that services also we have to focus on there are different types of services which have more priority and there are some services which have less priority.
Okay.
And we have to choose some over the other, and we are not sure what is more priority and what is less priority. This is one part of the question, and the second part is sometimes we have to give priority to sadhana over service. Can you explain this, taking to which item will lead to what complacence, and giving some of your examples from your life?
Okay, so you have two questions. One is, when there are several services to be done, we need to prioritize, we need to give which is a higher priority. So how to understand which service is the higher priority? And the second question is about time, right?
Yes.
So sadhana. So how to balance between seva and sadhana? So let's deal with the first one. Now, the best way to prioritize your services is to ask your authority who has given you the services. So that authority, service authority, will have an idea of what is more important to be done at a particular time. So that is the simplest way. Now, there may be situations where you may not be in a position to do that. Then you have to use your good judgment based on your Krishna conscious understanding and take a decision as to which service needs to be done. So in this respect, Srila Prabhupada also mentions that Mother Yashoda was faced with such a dilemma when she was feeding Krishna, baby Krishna, and the milk on the stove was boiling, so she placed Krishna down and rushed to the stove, and Krishna was angry and then he broke the pots. So Srila Prabhupada says that Mother Yashoda was not at fault, because whatever she was doing for Krishna with the greatest love. And at that point in time, because the milk was boiling over for Krishna, that milk was meant for Krishna also, so she rushed to the stove. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that devotees must also similarly prioritize. When there are many sevas to be done at a given time, we have to choose which one is more important. And then Prabhupada, he cites a verse from the Bhagavad Gita. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. That for one who is constantly serving Krishna with faith, Krishna gives the internal understanding by which one can progress and go close to Him. So, using your Krishna conscious judgment, If the authorities are not available to you, you can select what at that point in time is more important and needs to be done, more urgent rather. So coming to your second question, sadhana and seva. The general principle is do the right thing at the right time. Whatever is required to be done at a particular circumstance or at a particular time, do that. Generally, the early morning hours are good for sadhana. So try not to do some kind of other services at that time unless that is your prescribed service. For example, those who are going on the altar to dress the deities or to do other pujari service, that is the designated time of service, so they have to do that and do the sadhana at other times, maybe before the Mangalarti or after at some point during the day. But otherwise, unless you have a specified service given by your authority at the time of your sadhana, you should do your sadhana at that time. So then, when you do the sadhana when it is meant to be done, and you do the service when the service is meant to be done, then your dilemma will be solved. Okay?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Sometimes we make some schedule for our development. So we hear in Bhagavad Gita also this regulation concept that we need to regulate our life. So many a times we try to regulate it, but we find in our daily devotional life that things does not go in that way. So many ad hoc comes, dynamism comes, so our sadhana schedules or seva schedules get hampered, and then we again try to come to regulation. So like this many a times happens. So then the determination only goes here, why to schedule the things. Things are collapsing against and again. So this regulation part becomes very, very difficult, although it stays in success to regulate for everything good. But the regulation becomes very difficult.
Okay, interesting question. Your question is that we make regulations, we make schedules, we make plans, and circumstances come up in such a way that our plans are spoiled. We cannot implement our plans, the schedules, because of circumstances, they get disrupted. So we become disturbed and we think, why to make these plans and schedules anyway? Because we are not able to maintain them. So the answer is that it is not only your problem, it is everybody's problem. It happens to everybody. That is the nature of this material world, that material nature keeps everybody on their toes. You have heard the English proverb, man proposes, God disposes. So that is only to be expected. So how does one deal with it? Number one, basic Bhagavad Gita philosophy is that you have to be committed to doing your duty and doing what it takes to fulfill your duty. Now, in Krishna consciousness, our duty is to serve Krishna and Krishna's devotees. So therefore, we should do that to the best of our ability. Part of doing the service well is to plan it well and to do it with our full heart. If you do not make a plan to organize your activities well, it means that you are not taking your service seriously enough. That means you are being too attached to the result and not to the effort that you need to put in to your service. Even if Krishna wishes to disrupt your plans, he can do anything he likes, but Krishna wishes to see your sincere, enthusiastic service. So you cannot stop making your plans and schedules for organized and nice service to Krishna. And it is not that always all your plans get disrupted. Sometimes it happens, not all the time. It may disrupt, certain plans may get disrupted after a certain period of time. So you have to factor that in into your plan making, knowing that certain plans may get disrupted because of circumstances. But till such time as your schedules last and your plans last, you have to implement them. And when some disruption comes along, then you have to adjust and modify that plan and do it in the new circumstances in the best way possible. But we should not let that become a demotivator to us. And in every ashram, in every circumstance, in every temple, and also in the material world, it is everybody's experience that you have to always move with the time and the circumstances. You cannot give up because something has come in the way. So you just have to plan, you have to continue, and you have to depend on Krishna and just go on. Do not get disturbed. Let's say you have made a schedule for the altar service, for the deity worship, and different devotees are meant to do certain services. But then one devotee falls sick, another devotee is urgently called somewhere else, then your plan is disturbed. But that doesn't mean that you should stop making plans for serving the deities in a systematic manner. You just have to be active to see that somebody else comes in the place of these two devotees. Maybe you make your plans in such a way that there is a backup arrangement in place, so that you don't have to run around at the last minute looking for somebody. So in that way, you have to factor in the fact that there will be changes, and then serve Krishna to the best of your ability and intelligence. So don't let that demotivate you and make you complacent and careless and negligent. Okay? So I think we'll stop here now. Okay.
Hare Krishna. So we heartily thank Maharaj for such a wonderful class. Maharaj, you have told many reasons why our fire for enthusiasm goes down. We are not understanding the importance of time, inadequate understanding of what it takes to advance, the scriptural purpose, facilities, negative outlook, indiscipline, success, exhausted attachment to peace, and also question answers, priority in ask authority, two things at proper time. If you don't make plans and schedules, means we are not serious. We really have to thank Maharaji for the wonderful class. It was such a nice to hear from Maharaji. I love the chanting three times. We hope and pray that Maharaj can do a session more and more.
Hare Krishna. So very warm regards and best wishes to all of you. And please continue your Krishna consciousness with great enthusiasm and continue on and share this with all others that you meet. And you are very lucky that you are being guided by such wonderful devotees in ISKCON Kanpur. Yes, so please continue on with great enthusiasm. Hare Krishna. And best wishes. Hari Bol.